There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Getting techie.
Shams from Dell, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. It's nice to have you in. Is this going to be the last time we ever see each other?
I know, I'm kind of sad. I'm holding back tears here. This is difficult.
I'm okay. So...
She's going to be following me. She's going to be stalking me.
I am. So we talk tech at this part of the show every couple of weeks, and you've brought in, to start with, a few apps for us.
Yes. I thought one last hurrah. We'll do a quick list, as many as we can get through, of Steph's favorite. So I went through all of the history of how many years I've been on the show and picked your favorite of extremes, those that you love and those that you hate the most.
Oh, that's good.
So
we starting?
We're going to start off with the ones that you love. Apps, you know, travel and tech. Nothing, you know, really means travel and tech more than the awesome world of apps today and what is possible. One of my favorite ones is WizEat. I'm sure you remember WizEat. WizEat is an awesome app. It's a community for people to offer, discover, and really book authentic meals in local homes around the world. So not just for travelers, but this is how I use it as a tourist and a traveler.
Why do you call it WizEat when it's spelled with a V?
WizEat.
You said WizEat.
I said WizEat. I have a cold.
I'm sure.
I heard Wiz.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was some German thing you were doing or.
No, I was. It's made in Germany. No, I'm kidding. I'm just messing around now. I'm trying to save myself out of the hole I've dug myself into. WizEat, yes.
Hey, it's half a W.
It's half a W. There you go. So this is how you use it. Basically, I'm traveling. I know my locations where I'm heading for the next couple of weeks, and I'm a very frequent traveler. I really don't want to be a tourist. I want to be able to, you know, get a more locally guided experience, and not even from somebody who is of the mindset of, I want to make a quick buck here. These are people who really want to be able to celebrate diversity, just have a good, you know, community session, and really around food. It's
so it's
great.
Free.
Well, the app is free, but anybody who's hosting you is going to suggest that, you know, listen, I'm suggesting that per head, it's going to cost this much. If you're willing to contribute, come on over. And I want to host 4 people. I want to host up to 12 people. Come on in and let's have dinner.
And so how do you know what kind of experience you're going to get? Because I'm guessing you can get quite a range. And
yes.
There's probably reviews where you can understand
yes.
the quality.
So what does happen is when you try to look for opportunities, right, you will have reviews from others. So people will, these are not absolutely random people, right? These are people who have restaurants or people who have been doing this in their homes for a while, and they have some great reviews, right? Some of them have some regular return guests as well, you know, people from the town. So it's not just for frequent travelers. So these are, you know, well-reviewed stories. Obviously, don't make the mistake of seeing somebody who's has 0 reviews, is hosting a dinner in a weird location.
For one.
Exactly.
That would be grim, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So it and that is really part of the fun. If you've done that kind of responsible homework and sensibilities, then you're going to enjoy yourself. I mean, it's amazing. Some of the people that you meet there, from the diversity of industries and backgrounds and experiences, you know, you meet people and you sit down at the dinner table and you see them, you're like, I kind of know, I have a hunch of what this person is going to be about. And then you get to, you know, bond with them over dinner.
This is a great idea. Do you know what this reminds me of? When you stay in a really cool little bed and breakfast and you get up in the morning and you chat just over breakfast to the people who've stayed as well.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. Nice little quaint locations usually have that kind of setup, right? Where you're able to be free and mingle with these people. It's kind of just like that. So, and the nice thing is, it's already got more than 110 countries on this app where you can really leverage the service. Even UAE is in there.
Why would you not do this at your house? You use this, right?
Yeah.
So why haven't you done it?
A, because I don't cook as well.
Okay.
B, because I'm never around that much. Really, that's it. Yeah.
Would you do this, Sonal?
I would definitely do this. For me, traveling is all about meeting new people and having new experiences. So I love that. I did something in Bali, actually. So we were looking for a cooking class, but instead of going to a restaurant, we found someone who was hosting it at her home.
Exactly. Oh, that's also in WizEat. A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
They'll say, I don't want to just host people for dinner. I'm inviting you all. I'm actually a chef, and I would love for you to come over and cook with me. And that is just awesome.
This is so good. I loved this last time you told me, right?
Yeah.
I love it again.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it all over again.
There you go.
Because I have such a bad short-term memory, so I don't remember this.
I can tell you even more.
Well, now as you go on your travels.
Like, costs, you know. Let's look at the costs. I've had a variety of meals in Europe, London to Istanbul for you know, just 350 dirhams and less. That's my max.
Okay? Do many couples turn up, or is it all
yes,
single
yes.
people?
Couples turn up. People with families sometimes turn up. Yeah, it's really interesting.
So you're bringing a bunch of travelers together. What about language? What if you have a guest who only speaks French and a host happens. That only speaks Spanish?
It happens. But sometimes what happens, you'll have that happen. But the storming, the norming, and the forming usually happens very quickly in such gatherings. Like, you'll find somebody who is able to mingle with you. And if you don't, guess what? I've sat in on some of these dinners where I'm literally using Google Translate and we end up having a ball. All right?
I and remember, also, is the same yeah. in every language.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. And I remember my best experience, right? This was a humbling learning experience where I was sitting across a table with this guy who was a complete rocker, had the whole headgear going and everything. And I was sort of like, you know, I had my impressions immediately formed of this individual. And halfway through the dinner, this guy turns out to be like a nuclear physicist. And he's a complete nerd and absolutely the opposite, very soft spoken. And I was like, what's with the hairdo? what's going on here? You know, totally lost. But yeah, I mean, and we still stay in touch. I mean, he's a really good friend of mine now. Yeah,
I am so going to use this. But do they rate you as a guest? Do you also get a review?
Yeah.
Ah.
So it's. I think they have the system. The system is down. Done.
How
well.
Many stars do you have, Shams?
6 out of 5. No, okay. I haven't checked. I should.
He very rudely commented on my hair, which I found very upsetting. I'm going to check it out. I'm definitely going to get that because I could use that while I'm traveling around Europe, couldn't I?
Yes, yes. And if anybody else, any listeners who have also used it, please. Let us know your experiences.
When we come back, we've got another app for you. This is more for people who would like to get out and about rather than being indoors eating.
Getting Turkey.
And he's still here. We've got Shams Ooh. From Dell with us. Hello.
Hi.
Now, you use the last app a lot. You've done this about 20 times, Viz Eat, where you go to a country and you just turn up at someone's house who has prepared to cook you dinner. You
Bingo.
Give them a bit of money. Do you have to give them cash? How does it work? Or pay online?
If it's a restaurant, sometimes credit cards work. Yeah, but it is mostly not pay online. You just go there and dish up and get ready to go.
Okay, so that's Viz Eat.
What about diets? What if you're a vegetarian, a vegan? Are there certain filters that you can have for
yes.
your experience?
Oh, yeah. The app and the website are very, very, I mean, taking full advantage of digital, basically. Tech.
I love it.
Yeah.
So that was the first app, Viz Eat, it's called. I've already downloaded it. If you're going to grab it, if you've used it before, we'd love to hear from you. But
so
now,
that is Viz Eat. That is around cuisine. This is more around being a tourist, but ShowRound really helps travelers to connect with locals who are ready to show off what they love most about their home cities.
I was getting you there, by the way. Crashing my lovely lead him into this nice button in on your last
there
show ever. Carry on.
So, it's basically an online marketplace for private tours where users, such as myself, would have the freedom to really tailor our tours with the residents. These are not regular tour agents. Right? These are residents who just want to show off their home cities. We can agree with them before we arrive at what we want to see, what we want to do. And the real nice thing is when arranging a trip with the help of a local, sightseeing really becomes so much more flexible, right? And it's an impromptu kind of experience as opposed to a formal guided tour.
I get really scared with things like this because you are possibly going to be stuck with a stranger one-on-one for hours. Where's your out? Where's your, oh, I'm really sorry, I've made an appointment to meet someone at 2. When you've said, oh no, I've got all day, we'll go around the city. What if you hate them?
Yeah, well, you know, you could suddenly say, hey, I've had that happen. Rarely. Most of my ShowRound experiences are really good. But, you know, rarely what will happen is, well, actually once it did happen where I said, you know, by the way, in ShowRound, you commit that, hey, let's go out for 2 hours. I got 2 hours to see the city, right? And I want to see X, Y, and Z. And the expert, the local, might come back and say, actually, you have not checked the fact that they're on opposite sides of the city. It's not going to work. So they'll give you the feedback. You agree with each other and boom, you set up a plan. You make it happen. I went on one with 2 hours committed to see a few sites and I thought, oh my God, this person's going to put me to sleep. So I was like, hey, listen, there was a sudden change of plans. Yeah, I did have the losing side of, you know, you keep the money that I committed to, you know, but I got to scram.
How much was it? How much do you pay for these tours?
It's nothing. I mean, it's chump change, really. It's like, you know, $4 an hour or something. It could.
Who's doing this?
Yeah, it's literally, and sometimes it could get more costly, right? Some people do it for free.
Hang on.
I noticed this on the site, and I was wondering about that, because the range in prices was so extreme.
There were
some people that were 70 dirhams an hour, a lot that were for free, and some that were 300 an hour.
Yeah.
I'm going with the 300, thank you very much.
I would not do that.
Why?
Some of my best experiences in Europe were with literally people who were charging peanuts, but they just enjoyed meeting strangers and going out and seeing the sights that they regularly enjoy.
What was the best one that you went on, and what do you think you saw that you otherwise wouldn't have?
Okay, very good point. I was in Italy, in Rome, and there... if you think about Rome, there are such regular tourist destinations, A. B, it's always so crowded, and I did go in a crowded season, but for business. I had a day to kill. And C, you usually never know of the places that the locals really consider as the place really to enjoy Rome. So I connected with a student, actually, a postgraduate student, and peanuts. I mean, it was dirt cheap, and I was like, why do you do this? And I mean, you're a student, you're anyway broke, why are you not charging more? Because he was really good, and he was just like, I really just enjoy meeting people, and believe it or not, it actually pays off even my PhD, because he was a humanities focused and everything. And he took me to sites I guarantee you I would never even have thought of. It wasn't the typical let's go to this museum. It was an art museum, but it was not well known of. You can't Google it, and it was definitely something that others are missing, right? I mean, that's one example. Or a restaurant. Not a restaurant that is showing up on the reviews, but a more local house, a local cuisine that you could really enjoy.
This makes me really sad, because I think to myself, I would never do this. Like, I would not even for 1,000 dirhams would I spend the day with a stranger going on the Abra across the creek. Like, there's just no way I would do it. And then I think, these people are just good people by the sounds of it.
I would definitely do it for the right amount of money.
How much money?
You know, not even, I guess, let's say 200 dirhams an hour.
200 dirhams an hour?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd do it for like,
man,
60.
Shams?
I would never take somebody for 200 dirhams an hour. Yeah.
I would feel they were in it
for the money more than the experience. And I really want to. I really want to, when I go to these things, go with people who, you know, and I always pitch. I said, listen, I frequently travel all over the world. I promise you, I can, you know, we can have a great conversation. I can tell you stuff about everywhere you can't imagine. Oftentimes, the people I will meet, they have aspirations to travel, and they just want to hear what's going on around the world. It literally is just that. And me, I want to be able to make sure that somebody is genuinely interested in meeting the person and going off for the experience. Now, oftentimes, what has happened more often than not, actually, the only one time I gave you the example where I actually left the person after like 30 minutes, but more often than not, every show around experience that I've had, we've started off with, hey, let's do 1 hour, let's do 2 hours. And it literally becomes half a day. We're just hanging out. We go out, you know, we're just...
The upsell.
The upsell.
If, well, you love that, then there's something around the corner you've got to see.
That's how the $4 translate. No, but some of the people that the upsell doesn't happen. I want to put that out there. You know, it doesn't happen. We committed to 2 hours. And after that, we spent three more hours together. And they're like, no. We committed to 2 hours. That's it.
They just want to hang out. That's so
nice.
They
just want to hang out.
And do they educate? One of the things I like about tours when I do go on them is I like the history. I like the information. Do they educate themselves on like the odd facts and
yes.
the bits and bobs?
Yes. So they do know. And that's really a much better experience hearing it from a local person who's just passionately knowledgeable about that rather than a show guide who has this down rote.
Oh, do you know what I would love to do? I'd love to do this and lie.
I knew it.
Take people around, like to the fountains at the Burj Khalifa. And this was in the First World War. There was nothing else here at the time. It was very cold. It used to snow here then.
I love that. Steph's fake tour.
Yeah.
You should do it, Steph. I bet people will love it just from a comedic perspective.
Yeah. Hisham's been on and he's made quite a good point, actually. He said, I've always had a good experience with free tours. They're available in most cities in the world. They work for the tips, so they give it all they can. And I thought, right, so if it's a free tour and they do a great job, you're probably more likely to pay them more than the guy who's charging 60 dirhams an hour anyway.
That's a good point.
Oh, the free ones are the ones catching you out, guys.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. Thank you, Hisham.
Okay, so we've done two great apps. This is called Show Around, and the other one was called Viz Eat. Go and find them, see what you think, let us know. If you've used them before, we'd love to hear from you as well. We're going to come back. We've got more tech when we do. We're going to be talking about tiles, not the kind of ones that you put in your bathroom, the techie ones. And I think I've found something even better than tiles, which I want to tell you about. I'm going to introduce you to
it. We're going to have a discussion around that.
Did you have a little look at my email?
I did have a brief look at it,
and did you think it was the best thing you've ever seen in your life? Do you think why aren't Dell doing this?
No, I thought tiles is better.
Getting techie. And Shams is here from Dell. And you know when the news is on, you're listening to the news and we're in the studio listening to the news, waiting to come back on the radio. And they were doing the story about the astronauts coming back to Earth. And I went, oh, isn't that amazing? Can you imagine coming back from space? And Shams jumps in and went, well. And I was like, this is a I have been to space story.
Oh, one degree of separation.
One degree of separation.
From I have been in space story. But yeah, wouldn't it be nice? I do want to be able to at least try those zero gravity U planes or whatever it's called, really, to be able to experience it.
Oh, not me.
Really?
Either space or nothing, thanks.
Would you do it, Sonal?
Definitely. I would like the zero gravity experience.
Yeah,
I agree with
zero
you.
Zero gravity. Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm going to do that. It's on my bucket list.
But you've been touched by someone
I've
who
been
has
blessed.
Been to
yes.
space.
So I, in my MBA program, I was very lucky.
I thought this was basketball.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not. I got into this MBA program, Columbia Business School, London Business School, really good program. A whole bunch of people in that program, all A players, really, you know, top notch people in that program.
It's amazing, isn't it? I think Shams Hassan is one of those really popular names. That you just got confused. You know, like sometimes when you come to the airport and they're
I
like,
think that is what might have happened, because I was wondering, how did I get into this program? But I did graduate with distinction and honors. But anyway, so we're in this program and I'm a little shocked. I'm one of the youngest guys, probably the youngest guy there. And I'm surrounded by these, you know, A players. And
when do you say A players? Like, how did you know? What kind of people?
Oh, man. When you say, you know, vice president of BlackRock, head of European Space Agency, R&D, Disney financial director, and all sorts of, you know, really top-notch players, people who are advisors to the U.S. president back at the time.
Whoa.
Not this one. And
just to be clear.
So we had a whole bunch of people there that were really, you know, A players. And I was like, what am I doing here? So anyway, in MBA classes, seats are pre-assigned.
Like a wedding.
Yeah, so you get to, you know, sit exactly where you've been told, because the professors really want to be able to orchestrate the discussion. So they do a lot of research in advance to understand the students and then basically sit them accordingly. So I remember this is the first week we're with his name is Professor Zeev. He is the head of the finance department there. So he's already somebody big in a school that is known for its finance program, all right? So he was very serious, great professor, by the way. And within the first week, these are all these A players, and he's already put his foot down. Like, you know, listen, you're here for the 2 hours, 3 hours of my session. You're basically going to dedicate yourself to this. I don't care if you have phone calls with whoever. You either ignore it, or if you take it, you're out for the whole session.
So this guy
put his foot down hard. We're like, you know, what? And he proved a point by, you know, not letting somebody in after a break. This was somebody who was like, you know, the VP of a huge firm, Coca-Cola or Pepsi or something. And he's like, nah, get lost. Come back next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he was hardcore. So we're all sitting there. Everybody's really focused. It's now the third session with him. It's already an hour in. There's a knock on the door. Everybody's looking at the door. They're like, this guy's going to get it. He looks at the door.
Right.
And he sort of opens the door. We're all kind of shocked. Like, why is he open? Who is this? He opens the door. He goes, ah, you're here. Come on in. So in walks a gentleman, and he's on a walking cane. If Tim ever hears this, he's going to come back to me, and I'm going to ask him how accurate was I. But here I go. He comes in on a walking cane, and Professor Zeev is like, yeah, come on in. Have a seat. I think your spot is over there. And his spot was on the first row, right in the middle. So he's asking everybody to move. Now, while this is happening, everybody's sort of like, now, we got to find out who this guy is. Professor Zeev never lets anybody in like that. Okay. He sits down and he goes, Tim, why don't you introduce yourself? He looks like, you know, he's walking on a walking cane.
Buzz Aldrin.
So, almost. So, he basically comes in. He's like, oh, my name is Tim Kopra. I am from NASA. I'm an astronaut from NASA. Everybody's like, whoa. And then he just sits down. And Professor Z was like, you're really being too humble. Why don't you tell us why you're late? And he goes, I was supposed to be here. I'm sorry I couldn't join you all in the beginning 3 days ago of class. I was on the space station. And due to delays, weather conditions, I couldn't land back on Earth.
Whoa!
And he's like, that's also why I'm on a walking stick, because he hadn't acclimatized to gravity yet.
Wow.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. So I got to, you know, you can look him up. NASA, Tim Kopra. You'll find him. He's a real celebrity. We actually, courtesy of him, we got to see a full tour of NASA facilities, like, something that a lot of people don't get to see. They only see on the edges of the wall. We got to go inside where all the sims were happening. Really amazing experience.
Here's the big question, though. Do you have his number in your phone?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's the right one? Have you called it?
Give him a fake
MBA,
one.
MBA students, that's the one thing we always do, right? We stick together, especially from schools who are really known for their strong alumni networks. So Columbia Business School, London Business School, two great schools with very strong alumni networks. And I basically remain closely in touch with all of our peers. I mean, Tim is a great example. He's actually very, very good at staying in touch with all of us.
I'm going to ask you the question everyone else is thinking. How do we get onto one of these programs then? How do we do this?
MBA, you got to have the right mindset. You got to showcase to them why you really, need it. They really want to genuinely impart knowledge and give you something of a paradigm change in life. So you got to make the case for why you need it and need it now. Of course, you have to meet their criteria academically as well as experiences.
Three GCSEs?
It doesn't matter. No, three GCSEs might work as long as you have experience to add. Three GCSEs and then a whole bunch of experience that might fit in that environment, you should be good to go.
Well, I think I could put on my little CV to them that I am 2 degrees of separation from Tim.
There you go. Yeah.
Shams, we've run out of time.
Ah.
Thank you so much.
We never got to our power cord.
Someone's texted in, LBSMBA represent.
There we go, brother.
Hey. Thank you so much for being a great guest for the last 3 years. It's been lovely to have you in the studio.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Getting techie.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.